While it is widely known that many of the world's wealthiest individuals and large corporations have for many years taken advantage of so-called tax havens to avoid paying taxes in their home countries, the identities of many of those people hadn't been exposed until a recent investigation. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists recently revealed that they had obtained 2.5 million files that uncovered the names of more than 120,000 offshore companies and trusts, detailing the activities of celebrities, the super rich, politicians, and many others who use secret bank accounts for the purpose of tax avoidance. The ICIJ report, titled Secrecy for Sale: Inside the Global Offshore Money Maze, made public many of the companies that operate out of tax havens in far-flung places around the world that include the British Virgin Islands, the Cook Islands, Singapore, the Cayman Islands, and Liechtenstein. The records detail the offshore holdings of people and companies in more than 170 countries and territories. The scope of the tax revenue loss is staggering. Last year, a Tax Justice Network investigation found that the super-rich in the U.S. and around the world are hiding at least $21 trillion in offshore accounts, avoiding paying hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes in their home nations. Your reporter spoke with Michael Hudson, senior editor with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, who discusses his group's investigation, its impact, and some of the public policy options available to the international community to prevent the future loss of tax proceeds that fund government programs and services.
Our director, Gerald Ryle, who is a journalist in Australia for many, many years, was working on a big financial scandal there for 3 years, eventually wrote a book about it. It had some offshore elements. And as a result of his reporting, he made contacts, which eventually led him and us to getting the documents. But then we decided when we got the documents and we started looking through them and trying to figure out what's there, we decided we're not going to be a passive conduit. We're not just going to put these out there. We're going to do what we do best and be reporters. So we started looking at what's there and using other documents, court records, and just shoe leather reporting, calling people and double-checking things and making connections between what's in the documents and what's out there in public records to try and do these stories. So we put out a couple dozen stories so far, and we continue to plan on reporting on what we found over the rest of the year.
Michael, what's been the repercussions of the revelation of some of the names that have turned up in this enormous trove of heretofore secret files of those folks with enormous amounts of money in these offshore tax havens? I know that there has been some repercussions in France, but maybe you could summarize some of the other things that have happened as a result of your reporting.
Right. In France, the president went on national television on Wednesday and basically vowed to eradicate tax havens, and the New York Times has given us, ICIJ, at least partial credit for sort of forcing that. In other places like the Philippines, the government, in response to our stories about Ferdinand Marcos's daughter, who is now a provincial governor, about her British Virgin Islands offshore entity, the government has promised to do an investigation to see if her offshore trust holds any money and if some of that money may have been some of the billions that her father allegedly took out of the country before he lost power. You know, in Mongolia, the deputy speaker of the Mongolian parliament has said, as a result of our reporting on his offshore, his Swiss account and his offshore company, he is considered stepping down. There's an investigation in India of some of the names that we revealed. So there's been a big response. The other response is that the IRS and other tax authorities in Germany and Canada and other places have demanded that we turn over our data to help them track down tax evaders.
And what's been your response to that request for these documents?
You know, our response is we're not an arm of government. As soon as a news organization is perceived as working for the government, our job is to get the information out there, and we are publishing a lot of the documents as we write stories. But, you know, part of what we're doing is we want to investigate these governments, too, and look at how good a job they're doing. So we can't be, you know, working with them or being agents of the government. We have to maintain our independence.
From a reporter's point of view, If you were to recommend changes in our national or the international system of banking to prevent this kind of abuse of secret bank accounts and trillions of dollars out of the reach of legitimate taxation, what are some of the primary things you'd recommend?
Right. I try not to get into recommending specific policy ideas. That's just not my job. I mean, I'll be writing about those, and I'll be talking to experts and trying to look at them as we continue. I mean, I can say that most of the experts, folks who are critics of the offshore world, say that the key thing, or one of the key things, is just making sure that the ownership of companies is something that's transparent. You should be able to go to the British Virgin Islands and find out on the internet or with a phone call and find out who really owns a specific company. If you're thinking about doing business with this company, or you run across this company somehow, or you're a lawyer trying to collect money because of a fraud case, you should be able to find out who owns that company. There shouldn't be a sort of faux director, faux shareholder who's on the official documents actually serving as a front man for the real people behind the company. So that's one thing. And that's a problem not just in the British Islands, but in places like Delaware and Wyoming, which in a sense are sort of internal U.S. tax havens, where it's very hard to find out who's really behind companies. I think the other sort of choke point is the era of for people who are involved in drug dealing or fraud or other crimes, the era of suitcases stashed with wads of $100 bills, that's over. I mean, money moves by a click of a computer key. So and that means they go through banks. So even if money is being moved offshore and it's officially held in a trust in the Cook Islands in the South Pacific, it's actually often really in a J.P. Morgan Bank in Manhattan or HSBC Bank in London.
That was Michael Hudson, senior editor with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. Find his group Secrecy for Sale Inside the Global Offshore Money Maze report by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.